Today's episode of Problem Solvers is brought to you by Aflac. Learn more about making Aflac available to your employees at aflac.com/small business. From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business. We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. How do you make money when your customer won't pay for your product? I work in media, so this is a problem I'm kind of familiar with. You're welcome for the free podcast, by the way. But of course, the media isn't the only industry facing this problem. Many industries do.
I think one of our main things is one of the problems that's kind of inherent with the dating industry is that, well, I mean, we surveyed this, like 85% of users don't really want to pay you. And so figuring out a monetization model that works, works for our users too.
This is Catherine Cook Connolly. She's co-founder and VP of brand strategy for a dating app company called The Meet Group. It owns four apps called MeetMe, Scout, Tagged, and High Five, which together serve 2.5 million active users every day and are adding users at a rate of about 130,000 a day. And those are solid numbers, but holy cow, 85% say in surveys that they don't want to pay for her service. In today's fractured, chaotic world, you can't get 85% of people to agree on basically anything, except apparently that they won't spend a penny on a dating app. And so what's the solution to this? Well, listen, I'm not going to blow your mind with this answer. It's advertising. But that comes with its own big set of challenges.
The problem with being an advertising-supported network is that on average, you earn less revenue on a per-user basis. But the difference is that you get a lot more users. And so we really wanted to focus on, you know, how do we have as much engagement as possible to keep users coming back? Because that's the key.
Right. So let me restate that because it's key to understanding what happens in this episode. With advertising, you don't make much money per user. Sometimes you just make fractions of a penny per user. But the more a user visits your website or app, the more times they're shown ads and the more valuable they become. And therefore, the key to a successful advertising-driven business is user engagement. You need to make that user as engaged as possible. Make them come back as often as possible. And user engagement at the Meet Group was once far, far lower than the company wanted it to be, which is a dangerous situation when you're living off of ad dollars. So that's the problem that Catherine has had to solve. People won't pay, which means that she has to show them ads, and to show them ads, she has to keep them coming back to her service over and over and over again. She needed to boost engagement like crazy. And here's how well she and her team are doing that. Last year, the Meet Group reported $76.1 million in revenue, up 34% year over year. In May, it reported its first quarter results and showed revenue up 51% year over year. All of that means engagement is going way, way up. So, how are they doing it? We'll dig right into it after the break. Let me tell you the story of Best Self. Alan and Catherine were running a business together and each had a separate business too, so they were busy and they wanted to make the most of their time, so they started developing a tool that would help them do that. The result was a journal, a really beautiful, simple product with space to help them plan their day, organize their thoughts, and work towards goals. Their friends loved it, so Alan and Catherine launched a Kickstarter that turned out to raise more than $300,000, and then they shifted their efforts to building an entire company devoted to helping entrepreneurs perform at their highest level. That includes that journal, as well as a dry erase 13-week wall calendar, a letterpress manifesto, and more. Good problem solving, I'd say. Find their products at bestself.co. That's bestself.co. And now onto our second sponsor. I was about to start recording this spot here for our new sponsor, ProsperWorks, but I wanted to know what someone who's used many CRMs thinks, because that's what ProsperWorks makes, a CRM. So I walked over to one of our sales guys, Jim, and I said, Jim, tell me what comes to mind when you hear the words CRM. And Jim sighs, and he says, they are so tedious. And to this, ProsperWorks says, we totally agree. ProsperWorks is a CRM company that knows CRMs are notoriously complicated and inefficient, but its software is the opposite. By integrating with tools you're already using and eliminating repetitive tasks with automation, ProsperWorks makes a beautiful, easy-to-use system that drives productivity to help you and your team sell more faster. Try ProsperWorks today for free using our link prosperworks.com/loveyourcrm. Again, prosperworks.com/loveyourcrm. Okay, let's get back to the story. Okay, we're back. So before we get into how Catherine solved the user engagement problem, let's find out how Catherine got into the dating app business at all. It's a crowded field, of course, and has some dominant players like Tinder and OkCupid that are hard to go up against. But Catherine got into this game a long time ago, a full 7 years before Tinder even existed.
In 2005, my family had moved to a new town, and it was a school, and it was the high school's Montgomery High School in Stillman, New Jersey. And my brother Dave and I were having some trouble making new friends because even though the class size, especially about 400 people, most of the people had been there since kindergarten. So it was hard to break into their social circles and really kind of get to know people. And so one day while flipping through a normal high school yearbook, my brother and I got the idea that, you know, why aren't these online? We could really make meeting new people fun.
Catherine is 15 at the time. Her brother is 16. And they have an older brother who at the time was 26 and had made a bunch of money selling a company. So the older brother invested $250,000 and the three siblings began creating a website to help people meet and make friends. They called it My Yearbook. And they designed it to look a lot like MySpace, which was popular at the time, but wasn't actually very good at helping people connect with people they didn't already know.
What we ended up doing was we hired a team of developers in Mumbai. We used Elance to find them and sent them hundreds of pages of specification sheets and pen on paper wireframes that detailed like every aspect of the site, all the logic, you know, what every button press would do. And then we launched Industrial High School and got about 400 people to sign up within the first week.
My Yearbook continues to gain traction and soon gains interest from investors. In October of 2006, this trio of siblings, two of whom, let's remember, are still teenagers, raises $4.1 million. And as the market for dating apps starts to get really crowded, My Yearbook distinguishes itself as a place where people aren't just there to date. They're there to meet, maybe to just make friends, although everyone's single, so, you know. Anyway, in 2011, My Yearbook merges with a public company called K-Pasa, which was basically doing the same thing, but for a Latin American audience.
So after that merger, about a year later, we rebranded the entire company to Meet Me in 2012.
The parent company officially becomes Meet Group, and the two products, My Yearbook and K-Pasa, are transformed into one product called Meet Me. And by the way, funny story about the name transformation.
So when we were going through the name change process, we surveyed users, you know, why do you use this app? And they say to meet new people. And it's like, do you think My Yearbook is a good name for that? And yeah, they all said yes. so it was, you know, they used it to meet new people, but obviously the name My Yearbook didn't really fit. It kind of gave a classmates.com vibe. So that's the reason we changed it, was because that wasn't what the company was about.
Did you catch that? My Yearbook asks its users if they like the name My Yearbook, and the users say yes, and then the company changes the name anyway. Why? Well, because users don't always know best. You always have to consider what kind of users you're getting feedback from and whether they really speak for the fullness of your potential audience. These people, in this case, were all using My Yearbook, so to them, the name was totally familiar and normal. My Yearbook? Yeah, that's where I meet new people. But Catherine knew that to someone not familiar with the company, the name My Yearbook wasn't doing them any favors. She wanted a name that really explicitly said that it was there to help you meet people and, you know, again, maybe date. So again, she ignored her hardcore users in favor of attracting a wider base of users and changed it to Meet Me. The company would eventually go on to acquire those three other apps, but Meet Me is its flagship. And so when a new product succeeds in Meet Me, it gets rolled out into the other apps. So for simplicity, we're going to focus our conversation here on Meet Me. So now, this newly formed, renamed company starts looking at its business and how to best monetize it. And yes, there are some dating app companies that charge for access, like eHarmony, but they tend to target an older audience. Meet Me's median age is 23, and those people are just not paying.
No, so we did have, and we do have a subscription service called Meet Me Plus that we launched. And so this was in the time that we were trying to figure out mobile monetization, and we had in-app purchases as well. And so we were trying to figure out how to make those work. But what it kept coming down to is, you know, in order to say, you know, you want to go full into subscription, you have to decide to cut off to put in paywalls. And that was just something that we weren't willing to do. And so we had to build a, you know, whole advertising model in order to support our users actually being able to engage with each other.
Engage with each other. Because that's the key here. I mean, nobody comes onto Meet Me or any dating or friend finding app to engage with the app. They're not there to play games. They're there to engage with the people they meet. So as Catherine and her team are looking for opportunities to grow their business, they keep circling the question, how do we get people to engage more with each other? And then they started looking at how often people actually exchange messages.
So a few years ago, our average number of chats per day or chats per user was maybe, it was around 12.
12. This is the magic number they're starting with, 12. That means that on average, a user of MeetMe is logging on and sending 12 messages to other people. Maybe those are new messages to strangers, maybe it's part of an ongoing conversation, but whatever it is, it's 12. And so Catherine and the team start to wonder, how could they get that number up? Now, if you haven't spent a lot of time on dating apps, I want to set the stage for what happens next because I have some personal experience here. I met my wife on OkCupid in 2009, and back then, chat wasn't really a thing in dating apps. I mean, you could chat, but by and large, the messaging systems looked and felt a lot more like email. And you don't use email the way you use like text messaging. You write longer emails, and you check them less frequently, and you don't go back and forth like in a text. And this is what was happening in MeetMe, too. Its messaging system looked and felt like email.
The first thing that happened was it became real time. We had typing indicators. So you would be able to tell who was chatting with you then. And that increased the number of chats sent significantly just by switching to real time chat.
But just by telling people when other people were typing significantly increased the amount of chat?
Well, and switching to real time in general. So real time meaning.
What does that mean?
So before, like say you were in your inbox, which it was an inbox at the time, you pretty much need to refresh to see a new message come in. And that's not optimized for having lots and lots of messages and having lots and lots of engagement, because then you lose the user. They'll send their long email-like thing and then they'll leave. Instead, when you have real-time chat, you know, you're sending messages throughout the day. They're shorter. And as a result, your session lengths are shorter, but you get significantly more visits per month and visits per day.
Changing the look and feel of messaging. When you hear something like this, don't you just start questioning why everything around you is designed the way it is? As soon as I heard Catherine talk about the message indicator, which shows that another person is typing, I thought of seeing that on my own iPhone text messages. And, you know, I always thought that that was there, like, for users, you know, like, hey, another person is typing. But now I realize that was probably, I'm probably wrong about that. Like, that's got to be there to keep me looking at the app. It's there for user retention. Clever, clever. Anyway, MeetMe launches these big changes to its messaging function in 2013. And once it does that, it also sees that it has a big new opportunity in push notifications, because that's really the thing that'll get people back into the app.
It's the most successful push notification by far, because it's an activity a user is taking on another user. And so when that action takes place, then it's so much better than that user, than the other user getting some system message that just says, you know, someone new is online near you. Like that's boring. But seeing that someone sent you a chat, that's awesome.
As users started chatting more, MeetMe realized it suddenly had a new trove of data that it could use. It now knows if users are very chatty or not very chatty. And what can you do with that? Well, there's a section in MeetMe that shows like people you want to connect with, people that are near you, that kind of thing. But now it's also optimizing based on how you chat.
We're able to make really intelligent matches. And so when you know that people like this user tend to have chats that are longer, you'll show them more people like that user.
Now the chattiest users are matching up and have the chattiest of chatty conversations. Chat, 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 chat. And hey, do you remember the average number of chats per day per user from a few years ago? It was 12. That was the magic number, 12. And now with these changes, how much higher do you think MeetMe got that number? How many chats per day does their average user have? Drumroll, please. Come on. I know we can find a sound effect in this podcast.
So it's now, we just hit this in June, 23 chats per user per day.
23! Nearly double the number of chats per day. And that comes out to a total of 30.5 million chats per day across all users, which is up from 10 million chats per day only a couple years ago. That's pretty great. Except all this chat created another problem.
Yeah, they're coming into the app, you know, maybe 10 times a day, but only staying for roughly a minute.
A minute. They're coming, they're chatting, they're leaving. So now you're training your user to just pop in really quick for a chat and not spend time exploring the other stuff on the site, which is a problem. But as we know, every problem is just begging for a solution.
So something that we've recently launched to kind of combat that a little bit is video.
It's not unheard of. This year, Hinge and Match added video to user profiles, and Bumble said it's getting into video too. The international dating app Badoo even recently added the ability to video chat with other users. And as I read about this kind of stuff, I thought, oh, I mean, how could this possibly work? Connecting on dating apps can be awkward enough. I wouldn't want to be suddenly dumped into a video conference with somebody. But MeetMe has a really interesting take on video. Their product is more like Facebook Live or Periscope, where a person can start broadcasting for everyone to see.
Yeah, so it's kind of addicting. I have a lot of fun on it. So you just start broadcasting. We make it very easy to start the video broadcast, and other viewers will start watching your stream and chatting with you, and you'll see whoever's streaming will be engaging with their audience.
And people are getting really creative about how to engage. Some people are just sitting there chatting, of course, but then...
Some also will do things like sing or dance.
It's like they're auditioning for dates.
It kind of is. And so we surveyed them. So we survey our users a lot. And one of the more interesting results on this was 65% of our users feel more attractive after broadcasting because they're getting all these, they're basically just getting tons of compliments. And they're watching, you know, their viewers go up to, you know, sometimes getting 10,000 viewers. And yeah, that has a mark on your ego. And at the same time, our users are more likely to say they're attracted to someone who's broadcasted because it really feels like you step into their world for a little bit. Like we've had users say that they love being on live because it's like you're famous. And the last time, you know, maybe they had 7,900 people watching them. And they're getting this great feedback, and it makes them basically feel loved and special.
Video was introduced in March of this year. Catherine and I spoke in August, only 5 months since they launched the feature, and the numbers are pretty encouraging. Already, a quarter of their users are using video every day, and they're viewing 6 million minutes of video every day. In the company's May quarterly report, the company said that broadcasters are currently broadcasting for about 40 minutes a day, and viewers are watching for 23 minutes a day. All of which sounds like it's helping to counter that problem with texting, where people simply wouldn't stick around for very long every time they visited the app. And also, video is producing new revenue opportunities. There's ads, of course, and Meet Group is currently testing them inside the videos. But then there are the wackier ideas, like when somebody who's watching a video pays to send one of the people who are creating a video a little digital gift that they buy for actual money. For example, for less than a dollar, you can throw digital roses at someone, and the prices just go up from there.
So the gifts do go up. Like, you can also send someone a yacht, and then you're probably spending like 20 actual dollars on that yacht. But you really stand out if you send someone a yacht, and then the animation.
If they know it costs $20.
Exactly, and then they do.
To be honest, I cannot imagine spending money on something like this, but the format is really popular overseas, especially in China, where people spend literal billions of dollars a year on digital gifts. There's a Chinese dating app called Momo that, like MeetMe, also launched video streaming with digital gifts, and it is cleaning up. So maybe not so crazy. And I think the phrase, maybe not so crazy, is really the answer to our question this episode. How do you increase user engagement so that they'll spend more time on your product and, frankly, your advertisers? The answer is to look for those missed opportunities, to think about how design can shape your user's experience, to think ahead so that one solution doesn't just create another problem, and to not be afraid to present them with something new and potentially crazy. Because as we've learned, hey, maybe not so crazy, but don't expect me to buy you a yacht. And that's our show. Problem Solvers comes out every week, so to make sure that you don't miss an episode, please subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love what we're doing, please also leave us a review. It totally helps us reach more people. That's our problem solving right here. And of course, there are a lot more stories like this one, along with practical advice on how to start and grow a business in Entrepreneur Magazine and on our website, entrepreneur.com. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Our producer is Nathan Latka. Again, my name is Jason Pfeiffer, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Let me know what you think about the show. You can find me on Twitter at @heyfeiffer, H-E-Y-F-E-I-F-E-R. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.